our first speaker, my good girlfriend, Juanita.
Juanita!
I'm a grateful recovering addict, and my name is Juanita.
Hey, Juanita.
Hey, family. Hey, clean only through God's grace and mercy in the program of Not Cause Anonymous. I'm sleepy. But I'm always willing to give back what was so freely given to me. And this topic is my favorite topic, because the way I live my life since I came into the rooms of Not Cause Anonymous is I stick to the basic. I keep it just that simple. You know, the basic for me is the 1-2-3 step during, and the serenity prayer. You know, I'll just tap into a little bit of my story. You know, I come from, in step one, I had to realized that I had a problem. I blamed everybody for the problem. I picked up the alcohol at age 9, and it went from alcohol to smoking reefer, to doing acid, to taking pills, to sniffing dope, to cocaine, and at the end, what was ever in your medicine cabinet, anybody, I became a garbage can, willing to get one more at all costs. The literature talks about me getting and using and finding ways and means to get more at all costs. So when I came in here, I didn't know nothing about the basics, because my life was interrupted at an early age. And when I came in here, you know, I had no sense of how to take care of me, how to take care of my children, how to be a daughter to my mother, how to be an aunt to my niece and nephew, how to be a friend. I didn't have any of those skills. So when I came in here, you know, I was all messed up. And they said, I came in here with a different mindset. The mindset I came in here with, I was so sick and tired of doing the things that I was doing, and my body was tired and my mind was tired. I was tired of looking at my family, looking at me the way they was looking at me, and I was just so sick and tired of the things that I was doing. And so I came into the meeting. And I had an idea when I came to the meeting that I ain't know what the hell I was coming in there for, but all I knew it was better than what the things that I was doing out there. And when I came in here, you know, one of the basic things that kept me coming in here was y'all said, keep coming back. Because, you know, out in the street where I came from, they was like, here come that begging bitch again. Here come that trick again. Here come that girl will do anything for a hit again. You know, here come that girl who mother looks that ain't look down on me, but she would give me this look, you know, that would turn to my spirit. You know, that girl who had messed up her life and messed up her children's life and did so many things and tore down communities and stuff like that. So y'all said, come back. And I was like, oh my God, they must don't know who I am. They said, keep coming back. So I began to come back. And I began to hear, you know, I can remember my first time I got up and I got the keychain. And I got the one-day keychain, and y'all clapped for me. And I was like, why are they clapping? And then they said, keep coming back. You ain't never gotta use again. And so I began to keep coming back, still not knowing what I'm getting myself into, but it's better than what's out there. You know, they say, keep coming back. So I kept coming back, you know, and then I began to see, I don't know whether this God that y'all talk about, because the God that I grew up with, he was a punishing God. And I didn't want to go to that God because, you know, my grandmother and them say, you're going to hell and all this stuff, fire and brimstone, all that stuff. So I didn't want that punishing God. So that's why a lot of times I continued to get high, because I had already messed up. So I say, what the hell? So I kept coming back. And then, you know, I began to see some kind of evidence. I began to see some of the people that I had got high with, and they wasn't using no more. And then I began to ask. That was one girl. I salute her. I take my hat off to her. She just transitioned. Veronica P. Veronica P. was one of the first power of example for me, because she gave me the freedom to be free, to talk about myself, you know. And she gave me the freedom not to be ashamed of my addiction. Because they say it's not my not my using. Don't worry about what you was using, you know, because I can't change nothing that I did, but worry about your recovery. I'm not responsible for my using, but I am responsible for my recovery. And she would share. And when she would share, I could relate to what she was sharing about, and it made me feel that if she can get herself together, then just maybe I can get myself together. And she would say, come to the meeting. No matter what go on, come to the meetings. Children getting on your nerves, come to the meeting. Just don't pick up. That was one of the basic things that I had to learn how to do because it was hard for me. Because I was an addict to getting and using and finding ways to use at all costs. I didn't care whatever the scenario was. And if it would have got me another blast of dope, I was willing to do it. So you can imagine, I was willing to do any and all things. And so, you know, I would keep coming back, and I'm coming back. One of the basics, I would stay, y'all said back in the day, go to 90 meetings in 90 days. They say just keep going to meetings, keep going to meetings. And I would go to meetings, you know, and I didn't know what I was coming in there for, but I understood that it was better out there. And then as I began to look up and I began to hear and open my ears and ask people for help, I said, well, you know, they would say, don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle. They say things like, you got to change your way of thinking. They said that, you know, get a God and get a God fast. So, you know, and then they would say the serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept. I had to accept that I had a problem and I needed help. And I couldn't get the help on my own because I always had an attitude of inferiority where I can do everything. I don't need nobody help me because on the streets, you got to do what you got to do. You know, I'm going to die with my boots on. This is the way I'm going to live. So I came in here and I began to get something that was greater than me. The first thing that was greater than me in sticking to the basics were little things like fixing the coffee. Because if I'm doing something, I'm a part of something. Mm-hmm. And I know that I was a part of this fellowship. The what talks about, you know, we don't want to know what you did, who your connection was. All we want to know is what your problem is and how we can help. And you can help me by helping me not pick up the drug. And they say, okay, well, now we'll give you a job. So I began to, you know, my first thing when I came in here, I had so much distorted thinking. I didn't think that I can amount to anything. And y'all began to show me that I can be a part of something. So I began to fix the coffee. You know, but in my mind, my distortion and my thinking, I had seen a lot of the guys that I had tricked with. I said, you know, I'm going to have some good days because I'm going to get with them guys. But not knowing that this power greater than me was working in my life, you know, I began to fix the coffee. And I had some women that protected me from the guys. And then I had some guys that had a spirit that didn't take advantage of me because I was naive and I didn't know. You know, all I thought in my life that my physical could get me where I was trying to go, not knowing that, you know, like in The Wizard of Oz, you know, I didn't have a mind and I didn't have a heart. But I did have a mind and a heart, and y'all was the one that helped me realize it. So as I began to get, they began to give me suggestions, if you don't pick it up, it won't get in you. Keep coming to the meetings. Then they say, get a sponsor. I didn't know about getting a sponsor because I didn't want nobody telling me what to do. And then a few people said, well, how is that working for you? You know, my life was a mess. So I began to just watch. I ain't never say nothing. All I would do was watch. I would watch y'all go to the meetings. I would go to the meeting with y'all. You know, I was scared to say anything, you know, because I didn't know the language. I ain't know the language of, we going to learn to love you till you learn to love yourself. Don't give yourself a break. Keep it simple, stupid. These are the basic things that I had to learn. And I had to learn sometimes just watching, not saying, just doing what y'all do. Y'all went to the meetings. I went to the meeting. Y'all say, pray, go to meetings, don't pick up. I didn't really want to pray because of that thought that I had in my mind. And then they told me, if you don't want to pray and you don't have a power that's greater than yourself, just use good only direction. Good only direction was go to meetings, pray, don't pick up, call somebody. And so, you know, they tell you to get a phone book. And the reason they tell you to get a phone book, because I know out there in that world, I had most of the drug dealers or the people that had the drugs, I had all their phone numbers. I know how to call them. They say, you got to call people. And I remember the basic for me was trying to connect on that phone because I wasn't good at telling people what was going on in my life. You know, I was angry at a lot of things that happened to my life and stuff like that. So, you know, I ain't telling them my business until I begin to hear my story and other people. So as I begin to hear my story and other people, I begin to do what y'all do. I begin to feel a part of. And as I'm feeling a part of, you know, the simplest thing, like pray, go to meetings and don't pick up and call somebody and help somebody, help a newcomer. You know, I'm like, I ain't helping nobody because I have 7 kids. I ain't got nothing to give nobody. But they say just by coming to the meeting. So then I begin to elevate and they gave me a secretary job. You know, I was in the beginning, you know, I didn't do the work in the beginning because it was so hard for me to sit still and concentrate and believe that I can get a life that was better. And to this, I began to get some women in my life that told me that you can do better. And how you can do better is you start reading the book. And I remember I came in there one day and I said, I need a book. This man gave me a book. And they said, don't only take the book, you got to read the book. So as I began to read the book and read the stories, I began to see that this was about me. So, you know, I was so grateful to be clean. I thought that was just enough for my first years of being in the fellowship. And I found out because I hadn't did no work, my other things, because this disease, it has tentacles. It going up. When the disease don't have one thing to feed on, it finds something else. And me, by me not having no foundation, just being clean, you know, it went to the only thing that was all right for me, which was my physicalness. I got a husband, my 4th year clean. And I forgot all about the fellowship. I was like, I don't need them no more. Until that husband, until he told me he ain't want me no more. And so I remember him not wanting me no more, and I hadn't dealt with none of these emotions. I hadn't dealt with none of these behaviors and stuff like that, because the God that I understand, he'll use the storm or the tragedy to get your attention. And the attention that he was trying to get, you got to do some work on yourself. You can't keep selling yourself short and think that that's all you have to offer. And I can remember when this guy, when my husband walked out on me and say he no longer wanted me anymore, I put myself in a psych ward. And when I went to the psych ward, they gave me all these Zoloft, they gave me all these pills. And I'm like, this feel like the high. So I asked my psychiatrist to wing me off, and I came back to the meeting. I didn't use or nothing like that, but I came back to the meeting, I put my hand up, and I got a sponsor. And she said, in order for me to sponsor, you're going to have to do the work. So I began to do the work. And I found out in step one, you know, I had made my life a mess by using drugs. And I began to do the step work. And I associate the first step in the basics with the serenity prayer. Acceptance is the key to all my dilemmas. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. I can't change what happened in the past, but I can make it better in the future. I can make new memories. And then the courage to change. I can't change nothing that happened back then. So I had to have something that was greater than me. What was greater than me was the sponsor, the meetings, the keychain, you know, changing. Just sometimes it was days that I didn't want to, I wanted to use, but I just remember what y'all told me. If I don't pick it up, it won't get in me. And the wisdom to know the difference, is step three for me. It's like when I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, as I understood him to be anything but me. It wasn't me. You know, and a lot of times, you know, the basis for me, because in life, just because I got clean and I'm in recovery don't mean life's going to stop. And I'm a woman, I have 7 kids and grandkids, and I work, and I got neighbors in the community. And a lot of times, you know, things don't go my way. But I always go back to the basis. Pray, go to meeting. I'll call my sponsors. I have a lot of time, but I still do what they told me back in the day. Even when it don't go my way, even when the children don't want to be bothered, even when the job is getting on my nerves, I still pray. And I understand, because in the book, in the front of the basic text, you know, it's a prayer. And it say, help me to write according to your divine precept. And I say this prayer every morning, let thy will be done. And someday, you know, when I'm not feeling good and I want stuff to go my way in my loneliness and stuff like that, you know, I know it's just a valley experience. I know it ain't always going to be like that, you know, so I continue to push on no matter what. I don't care what going in the day. You know, I remember when my son got transitioned. I was so angry, because in the third steps it talks about we take our will back. And you know, one thing about him, I had to see the evidence. And he showed me the evidence, because when I put myself in another crisis center, and first thing I go in the crisis center, I saw y'all. And y'all, it was God once again showing me the evidence that he's the footprints in the sand as long as I continue to believe and trust in him. And y'all helped me to get through that. Y'all helped me to see that no matter what go on, because in the blue book, it says that we're going to lose some loved ones. You know, but I'm so self-centered and self-obsessed that I wanted my son to stay around just for me. But it was just his time. You know, I can always... What the basics teach me to do is look at the pros and cons. You know, it helps me to think before I act. Because most of the time, I will always act and deal with the consequences later. But now that, you know, most of the time I pray and I ask for God's will. And whatever the scenario or the situation is most of the time, I can get through it. You know, this last weekend, I do this thing with my children. You know, I do Afro-American History Day, where my grandchildren, my children, we get together, and we they do poetry. They do reports and stuff about heroes and stuff. It's a tradition that we do when we get together with family and food and stuff like that. And my biggest hurdle in life most of the time is my grown-up children. Because sometimes the disease of guilt and shame come back in, because I was one of the mothers. I wasn't at the PTA meetings. I wasn't supported. I wasn't there to tell them about their body and things of that nature. So sometimes, even though I have forgiven myself, it still comes up. It still creeps up, because addict children, I have to understand and be patient and tolerant with them, because I know they're hurt. And I have to allow them to live their life. But, you know, sometimes the guilt and the shame creep back in. And this weekend, when I gave the thing, it was very disappointing. Usually we have a good time and things go on, but it's like nobody didn't have the oomph. And I'm mad because I put out a lot of money. But what I had to go through and understand and feel that, you know, they got their life. And that's the basic for me, pray, go to meeting, and let it go. I don't have to fester in it. Because the book talks about sometimes we take stuff and we make a mountain out of a molehill when it ain't that serious. They just didn't want to do nothing. You know, they might have had something going on in their own life, and I had to understand that. But even though I still wanted them to tell me, because I spent up all my goddamn money. But after I found it and I got through it, I was able to let it go instead of letting it fester it. You know, because a lot of times, I used to hold on to stuff. I would hold on to my past and blame everybody else. But the 1, 2, 3, the basics, it keeps me in the feel of I can't, he can't, let him. Get out your own way, Juanita. You don't have to hold on to stuff. Live just for the day, just for the moment. It ain't that serious. You don't have to make everything centered around you, even though I have this self-centered nature. But I work on it on a daily basis. You know, I don't have too much going on, because I do that 1, 2, 3 stuff. And most of the time when my days is bad, you know, I'm able to turn it over. And it's not like a miracle come out the sky, nothing like that. It's just KIS, keep it simple, stupid. You know, get out your own way. Don't make it more than what it is. You ain't got to be a gangster no more. You ain't got to get mad at everything no more. You ain't got to take everything personal no more. Sometimes I remember it say, let go and let God. And I try to let go. Instead of holding on, because most of the time when I hold on, it's scuff marks. And I don't mean I'm walking on water, because most of the time when you don't get angry and you ain't living that other way that you used to live, people don't understand. You know, they expect you to act and react and get angry and act ignorant and stupid like that. You know, I've lived a life of being angry, ignorant, and fighting and all that stuff. I've grown up to be in intelligent, young, vibrant, beautiful woman. I don't have to act like that anymore. I don't have to prove nothing to anybody anymore. You know, I'm telling you, and I had peace, because I remember one time, you know, I couldn't sleep. But as long as I do the 1, 2, 3 step and keep it to the basis, when I go home, I sleep good. My house is peaceful. You know, I don't interact. You know, even with my kids, you know, I always used to think that just because they ain't answer the phone or don't come visit me and stuff like that, that they didn't love, I would think more into it. All it means is that they got their life. Yeah. and they want to live their life. You go get a life. That's what you need. You know, sticking to the basics. I'm telling you, this program keeps it just that simple for me. And I'm telling you, you know, even with my health, I'm so busy worrying about them. My pressure had went up and everything. But once I realized that I am the problem, I apply the 1, 2, 3 steps in the basic. When stuff get on my nerve, I still go to meetings. I try to at least make a meeting a day. I still do my step work. I still talk to my sponsor. I still talk to my network of people. I don't go to bed mad, because one of my sponsors told me that mad is for being is what a Doug do. He get mad. He said, you know, don't take it to bed with you. You know, I had got mad because a friend of mine, out of the blue, had gave me a nice piece of money. And he gave me a nice piece of money. He said, it's just for you. Well, he must have knew that I had to pay my taxes. And I was getting ready to get mad because I had to pay. He gave me $1,500 and the taxes was $1,453. Right. And I got mad because I wanted to spend some of that on me. And I forgot about being grateful. You know, because I could have had to use my paycheck or something like that to pay that fast. You know, and so that's why I stay into the basics and the 1, 2, 3 step. I can't, he can't, so I let him, you know. So, you know, I'm just living this good life. So if you're anything like me, get out your own way. You know, I know for me, I have to get out my house, stay up in my head, you know, and want to run stuff. And then I forget about the two things that help me most of all, destruction and construction. My way is destruction. I'm going to fuck it all up. His way is construction. He going to build it up. Thanks for allowing me to share.
I would like to introduce our next speaker, Miles.
My name is Miles Manatic.
Hey, Miles.
And I really just want to go to bed.
I know, right?
Thank you, Juanita. I am. You know, I have been going to conventions for a lot of years, and I'm tell you, you know, my phone goes off. My phone goes to sleep at 10 o'clock. My phone goes to sleep at 10 o'clock and wakes up at 7. And, you know, so this is really hard for me. But, you know, Reggie asked me to do this meeting. When he asked me to do it, it's been a while, a couple of years, right? And I think when he asked me, I'm not sure I knew what the time was, what the time slot was. And he called me back and he said, you know, it's 11 o'clock Friday night. And I was like, I don't believe this. But the basics, and sticking to the basics, requires me not to get away from myself and do sometimes what is uncomfortable. Sticking to the basics, going into the literature, the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is unparalleled. And to me, sticking to the basics, when I first got the topic, all I really could think about was service. The service necessary for me to stick and stay. You know, because that's the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. You know, this process requires me to pray, go to meetings, not pick up. It requires me to get a sponsor, to be involved in service, and to help somebody when I can help them. You know, even if it's, God knows, 11 o'clock at night. you know, I'm telling you, this is really, you know, and then even with that, you know, I came into the room and I had the opportunity, option, I guess, so to speak. And I said, Juanita, do you want to go first? Knowing good and well, knowing good and well that I wanted to get it over with so I could go to bed. But this is the therapeutic value of one addict helping another, because she's in the same position that I'm in. She's, you know, it's 11 o'clock or going on 11 o'clock for her too. 11:30. It's that time for her too. And that's the part of, like, giving it away to keep it. Like, you know, it's not really all about you, Miles. Whatever you have to say, however long you have to say it, just say what you have to say. You know, I'm grateful for my day. Look, this past, right now, I mean, I was up in my room, and I had, Reggie, I had had a chance to get a nap, and I was listening to some crazy, crazy shows on TV. That's really has, this evening has been an opportunity for me to get a little bit of rest. Because the last couple of weeks and the last couple of months, I have been ripping and running. On Thursday, I was in Annapolis. I was testifying in the House of Delegates. And that has been the trend for me for the last couple of weeks. Pushing it, pushing it, pushing it. Every week and every day of the week, I've had something stressful to do. But a part of me giving it away to keep it is sponsorship. I sponsor some guys, and they do step work. We do step work. And I have a commitment to do step work with them. I don't always want to give up my Saturday evening at 7 o'clock to do step work. I don't. But somebody gave up their 7 o'clock to do step work with me. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't forget that. And this last meeting, I was here for the fourth and fifth step. I came to the fourth and fifth step meeting because one of the sponsors that I'm working with is on the fourth and fifth step. It's important for me to hear other people share about their experience, strength, and hope with the fourth and fifth step, so I have more to give to the people that I'm sponsoring. Mm-hmm. You know, to get a deeper and better understanding of the message that comes through the fourth and fifth step. That's why I was here, to listen to that, make sure, and even if there's a tape, to make sure I get it so that I can provide it to them so that we can have conversations about this. You know, pray, go to meetings, and don't pick up. That's the basics. The basics is also the basic text. When I got the message to do the stick and stay, stick it to the basics, I picked up I read the Just for the Day every day. Right, and in the Just for the Day, there are, 40 different pages, you know, or days in which you can find a message about sticking to the basics. I read them all, and I read them all over and over again. I read them all. And can I tell you what they all say? No, I can't. You know, because it's a living program. It's not a, you know, memorization program. I mean, yeah, the cliches work. They really do work. They jar my memory to remind me that, you know, that I can't, he can, so let him. That's what they do. But it's not a memorization program. It's a living program. It's a program where I have to put in the work in order to stick and stay. It's a program where I have to push past what sometimes I want to do in order to stay. Now, things that I do like to do, I'm on the Public Relations Subcommittee for the Baltimore area. I really like doing that. A couple weeks ago, we had a presentation for the University of Maryland Dental School. 2 hours, 80 sophomore dental students talking about Narcotics Anonymous, talking about 12-step programs, how 12-step programs will become relevant in their practice of dentistry. You know, dental students in their sophomore year, they're introduced to pharmacology, introduced to the drugs that they administer to patients, and they need to know how powerful these drugs are and how addicts like me and me. I ain't gonna say you. Addicts like me can, you know, get hooked on whatever. And that we have to be mindful of our addiction. And that they can, and not only that, they need to be mindful that, you know, that anybody can be an addict. You know, this is a from jails to Yales type situation. It doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, what you used, how much or how little you used, what you have or how little you have, but only what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. That's what it states in what is the Narcotics Anonymous program. A little bit about me, how I got here. I was my first introduction to Narcotics Anonymous was when I was using, I heard somebody say that I'm not responsible for my addiction, but I am responsible for my recovery. Those were the first words that I heard that were in the basic text. I didn't read them. Another addict shared those words with me. And because another addict shared those words with me, they were so powerful, because what comes from the heart reaches the heart. That's what our literature tells us. And sharing those words, I'm not responsible for my disease, because I was always responsible for, I thought I was, a responsible person. And that, you know, to just tell me that I'm responsible for my recovery was a spark for me. I knew that I couldn't stop using. I had gotten, we have key tags. We got 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. Mm-hmm. I had gotten my 30 days of using, my 60 days of using, my 6 months, my 9 months, my year, 18 months, and multiple years using, right? I had gotten to that point. When I got to a year and 18 months, I was praying desperately. God, how I knew that I couldn't stop on my own. I knew that when I got here, see, I got here because I had two DWIs. My first one was 10 years before the second one. And when I got the second one, I realized I was on probation. I wasn't on probation the first time, but the second time I was on probation. And I had a job that I couldn't really afford to be, like, you know, screwing around with probation. Screw around with probation and you lose your job. I had the job and I had to report for probation. When I reported for probation, I got the wise idea that, you know, that they were tested for alcohol. And, you know, if I had gone in and they smelled or detected alcohol on my breath, they were going to put the breathalyzer on me. And when they put the breathalyzer on me, I was going to violate my probation. And I got the wise idea that, well, you know, that's the one power, a power greater than was, I'm not, if they're not tested for anything but alcohol. So if I use something else, if I use something else, I might not get detected. You know, so cocaine was a power greater than alcohol. And I didn't have a problem with alcohol anymore. I didn't even have a problem with probation. I could sail through probation with flying colors because I didn't even drink an O'Doul. But now I had another problem. And I needed a power greater than that in order to overcome my disease of addiction. And that was that information about I'm not responsible for my addiction, but I am responsible for my recovery. So after 18 months and multiple years of cocaine, drugs, I prayed constantly while I was going and coming. I prayed for a power greater than to intervene and help me overcome. And that was the message that I got. When I got that message, and I came to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and I raised my hand and I identified myself as an addict. And the people in the room, as Bonita was saying, clapped for me and said, welcome and keep coming back. That from that day on, I didn't go back out. I stuck and stayed. I wanted a power greater than myself to intervene in my life to stop me. I wanted to be responsible for my recovery. And how I was responsible for my recovery was getting a sponsor and getting a home group. You know, getting involved was the most important thing, because I can get a sponsor and I can get a home group. I can read the basic text. I can work the steps. But if I don't get involved in my recovery, I won't maintain my recovery. If I don't get involved by sharing when I'm asked to share, even when I don't want to, if I don't get involved with service on the home group level, if I don't get involved in service on the area level, I won't be able to do it. I mean, this program has given me, and this was one of the questions one of the students at the dental school asked, was how has being involved in Narcotics Anonymous, has it, you know, because this is an anonymous program, how, if you're a professional and you're in Narcotics Anonymous, is that something that is helpful to you or hurtful to you? Well, one of the things about Narcotics Anonymous is it an anonymous program. And by being an anonymous program, I don't have to tell my employer or whoever that I'm involved in Narcotics Anonymous and that I'm an addict. I don't have to tell them that. But I tell you what will happen if I don't stick and stay. If I don't stick and stay and work on my recovery and I use, my employer will know and I will be out the door. Right, so I can be anonymous and recover, but I can choose to not recover, use, and lose everything that I've got gained since I've been here. And the other thing about being involved and being in service is that another question that came up is, you know, how does this really help you in your professional life? I'm like, you know what? I have learned more. I have used the information that I've gained in Narcotics Anonymous to help me more in my professional life than what my professional life does to help me in Narcotics Anonymous. It's the other way, or it's that way around. It's not like, oh, I'm this and, you know, out there, and I come in here and I can tell you all how to live your life. No, it's the other way around. You all tell me how to live my life, and I can go out there and help those in my work life to help be a better service to my employer and to my community. The literature, we have so much literature. We have a basic text, we have a works how-and-why, we have a step working guide. Sticking to the basics to me is taking those pieces of literature, working with a sponsor and working with people that I sponsor, and carrying the message with them. One of the guys in the fourth and fifth step, they shared it quite a bit, because it was like, when I work with a sponsee over the fourth and fifth step, the depth that we go into is so much more revealing to me. It might be their first time through, but when I go through it with them on a second and third time around, I get so much more out of it than it never even crossed. Some of the things that come up never even crossed my mind the first time. Just didn't. So the therapeutic value is them giving back to me more than what I may even be giving to them. You know, I think the next time I'm asked to do an 11 o'clock, I'm going to just say no. I'm just saying, you know, because I'm not that guy. I don't think I've been at a convention. I've never been up past 10 o'clock at night at a convention. Never. This is a first for me, right? And, you know, and it'll probably be the last, too, you know, given the way I feel. But, you know, I'm just grateful for just the opportunity, just the thought that, you know, that maybe that I might have something to say. I might, You know, he goes to meetings. You know, that's where it probably came up. He goes to meetings. Mm-hmm. You know, he's in service all the time. He got to have something to say, right? that's an honor. It is quite an honor that somebody to say, you know, he goes to meetings, he's involved in service, he has sponsors, he does this, you know, get him on. Like, no, and I'm like, no, that's all right. I don't need to do that. I am happy in a GSR meeting. And I know that's an odd thing for somebody to say, but I'm happy in an area meeting where people are going crazy about, you know, policies and talking about money and, you know, ripping and, you know, and yelling and screaming. You know how hard it is to go to the service center and listen to some of that? I love it. I really do. I used to be the guy who would go down to the service center and, you know, I had this thing where, you know, you're supposed to represent your home group. You're supposed to represent their group conscience, right? You know, but you know they don't tell you what their group conscience is and what their ideas are about anything. You just go, and I would go, and because I didn't know what my group conscience was, I would abstain. Every vote, I would abstain. You know, and they like, you know, I became known as the guy who abstains. And, you know, they would say, well, why are you abstaining all the time? I said, I don't know what my group conscience is. Mm-hmm. Right, you know. And but I realized later that what I was doing was, it wasn't so much that I didn't know what my group conscience was. I just wanted to be noticed. I wanted to be different. You know, I wanted to be different. I want to be just like everybody else. I guess nobody else abstains. So I will, right? This is what we do. You know, we learn that, you know, that's a self-centered aspect of my disease coming out, acting out for attention, becoming known that way. Now, instead of abstaining, I just either don't vote or, you know, keep my mouth shut, right? And, you know, and the other thing about service work is allowing people to be themselves. Right, especially when you're like chairing a committee or whatever the case may be, and I do that. I have to be open-minded to all the suggestions, and the most important thing about it is to incorporate the ideas of any and every addict in the committee. No one in any committee that I'm involved in, nobody's voice is unheard. Everybody, regardless of who they are, where they've come from, what they have to say, everybody gets heard. And nobody is allowed to dominate the conversation, regardless of how much time they have, and regardless of the positions that they've held in the committee and Narcotics Anonymous. I think that is... I think that's a good thing. It's one of the things that I feel good about because that's what my sponsor taught me. You know, you're no more important than anybody else, and you're no less important than anybody else. Everybody has a voice, regardless of where they came from, how they got here. As long as they choose to stay here, help them stay here. And by helping them stay here, you help yourself stay here. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you.
Go to the back.